I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Ministry of Hemp podcast. Today on the show, we are going to talk about testing. And when I say testing, I of course mean testing hemp plants, not just to see the level of THC, to see if they're legal or not, but to see the level of CBD, CBDA, and several other cannabinoids. Testing has been a real issue, and not too long ago on this show, I talked about how the DEA admitted that they don't have the time or the people to get it done. So it looks like more and more they're going to allow independent testing, which is cool, but we've all got to get on the same page first. How are we doing those tests? What are acceptable results, and can those results be repeated? It's a huge question, and it's been a giant problem for growers, for extractors, for anybody in the business. Cree Crawford from CanID is going to talk about a new and pretty exciting testing process that they came up with. But first, I thought we should address the elephant in the room, and let's talk about being quarantined for a little bit, shall we? This past week has been strange, to say the least, and for the first time that I can think of in my life, we all have something in common in the sense that we're all spending a lot more time in one place. For me, it's home, which makes me lucky because not everybody has a home, and I hope that you are doing things to help those in your community that don't. While I find myself getting a lot more done around the house, my garden's going to be incredible this year. It's easy to get scared and anxious by listening to the news. I know for the first 3 or 4 days there, I couldn't stop listening, and I tried to absorb everything I could, which is good. We need to know about this stuff, and we need to know what's going on so we can help take care of ourselves. But at a certain point, we also need to step back and relax. And I didn't even realize it until my wife pointed out to me, but I was getting very anxious and hadn't been for a while. So rather than getting blackout drunk or looking into illicit drugs, I decided it was probably time to up my CBD dosage a little bit, and that's just what I did. In the morning, I've been using the Prima powdered CBD drink called the Go-To. It has 10 milligrams of CBD in it, and you heard me talking to the COO of Prima, Laura Angelico Myers, just a couple episodes ago. Later on, right before lunchtime, I'm taking a dose of my 1,000 milligram CBD oil. It comes from Populum. They come right out of Omaha here, and full disclosure, they're buddies of mine, but they make a really nice product too. And as it would turn out, upping my dosage just a little bit really has helped with my anxiety. I'm not going to say it's completely gone. Yes, I'm still worried about the end of the world and society as we know it, but I find myself a little more focused and feeling a little better, able to tackle the day's news without as much terror. Now, last week on the show, I warned you about people that were selling CBD as a cure to the coronavirus. So I'm not saying that's what this is at all, but I will say that keeping your anxiety levels lower helps you function better. It helps you sleep better, and doing so helps raise your natural resistance, okay? Again, this is not me saying that CBD is going to stop you from contracting the coronavirus, but keeping your resistance up, especially in a time of stress right now, when we're in the middle of a global pandemic, is not a bad idea at all. I'll have a link to it in the show notes for this episode, but over at ministryofhemp.com, there is an excellent article that is talking about some of the preliminary scientific studies that are directly showing that CBD usage can reduce anxiety. And I'm saying preliminary because more need to be done. Definitely, no question. But right now, there is real science out there that is showing that this works, and works without the paranoia that sometimes comes with the THC hemp alternative. And if you're looking to introduce CBD into your health regimen, check out our list of top brands, you guessed it, right over at ministryofhemp.com. Today on the show, I am talking to Cree Crawford. He is the co-founder, president, and COO of Ionization Labs, who have come up with a new and affordable way to bring testing directly to hemp growers, extractors, anyone working in the hemp business. I am really excited about this interview, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Cree Crawford. Cree, welcome to the Ministry of Hemp podcast. Tell me a little bit about what you're sitting in right now, because this is interesting.
Where I'm literally sitting right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much. I'm sitting actually in our a mobile laboratory that we have set up. It's an Airstream. It's set up to be very easy to deploy and mobilize, and it's been really good to us over the last few years, driving around the country and demoing our potency testing solution, CanID.
So you can literally drive where you need to go and do it right there. This isn't a matter of them sending you, you know, hemp or anything. You could just go there and test.
No. So our solution, we are a research and development lab. We are actually getting into testing services, but what we've developed, what CanID is a solution that is deployable at someone's place of operation.
That's amazing. So,
yeah, I guess we could get into a top line story. You let me know when you want to go into that. But I started out, I had a love for this industry from a medicinal, the cannabinoid side, about 7-8 years ago, closer to 8 years. And I was out in California and I had a significant number of acreage aggregate that I was managing. And testing was something that out in California kept coming up as a requirement for dispensaries to start taking donations of product.
When you say managing, were you farming it?
I had growers. I dug in the dirt.
Wow. Okay. So you're all over this industry.
We had a lot of acreage that we aggregated throughout Sonoma County. And also down south. And it was great. It was, we did very well. It was a really great way to get, you know, my hands dirty as sure. In the positive way in the soil. And I'm a farmer at my core. I grew up on a farm in Connecticut when I was little. And so it's been in my blood, I guess, and I just love it.
So how does a farmer get into testing? How does that happen?
The dispensaries started requesting test results. And at first I was like, what are we talking about? And they explained, you know, COA. So what was it? It was all the plant's characteristics, which would be a potency and terpene screening, but also the health and safety factors. So heavy metals, because this plant's a very, very strong uptake, environmental uptake. Pesticides, of course, very important.
Of course.
Mycotoxins, which is very, very important as well. And so the aflatoxins and mycotoxins. So they said, hey, we can't take donations anymore until you get tests. So we would send tests out, a test request out, and we would wait 2, 3, 4,
yeah,
six weeks to get a result back.
Good Lord.
At the tune of losing, you know, couple of million dollars at that point,
and I was easily, really, I'm sure,
a little upset. But at the same time, I said, okay, this is interesting. Maybe there's an opportunity here. And so then I took one big cola, cut it up into three parts, sent that into the same lab over a period of a couple of days to see if maybe I could get a sample in faster. And then the other interesting thing that came back was there was a massive deviation in test results, you know, to the tune of 20 to 28%, 30%.
Oh my God. real quick. You said a cola. What's a cola?
Yeah. The cola is a big, big bud.
Okay.
Big
gotcha. Bud. Gotcha.
So, and at that point I said, there's a challenge in this industry because it's going to continue to expand successfully across the country. I had not thought about and considered the hemp space on this side. This was again, 8 years ago.
Right.
I said, you know, there's gotta be something. Well, and fast forward 4 years from there, I said, really, there's something to do. There's something in the industry. There's a problem. And where there's a problem, there's opportunity. And that's how I started my other businesses. So I called up a dear friend of mine, a guy named Alex Andrawis, who is my co-founder in this company. And Alex is 20 plus years in the wine industry. And I said, Alex, you know, you test a lot in the wine space.
Right.
I said, let's put our heads together and let's envision it an end solution. And then we'll work backwards from there. So we systematically went and we identified, okay, let's find out what the most volumetric test is, the most important test that could be utilized, not only for, you know, selling the product, but that would be valuable to a farmer and extractor. And that we very quickly determined was potency. So potency
makes sense.
Determines the value of the crop.
Sure.
And with hemp, it determines the legality.
Yeah, it's like the complete opposite end, where one, we're trying to see how potent marijuana is, but when it comes to hemp, we have to make sure that it's below a certain level of potency or you're throwing it away.
On the compliance side.
Right.
But the other great thing about, and I'll just take a quick digression, the other value of this is the hemp plant has considerable valuable cannabinoids over and above CBD. So we all know this, you know, in our industry. So the value of the crop is extremely important to identify, as well as the harvest time. So so what we did was we said potency is a business we could grow around because it's volumetric.
Of course.
You know, people could test potency every day in their crop if they had a desire to. So we said, okay, potency. Now let's determine or find out what the most valuable testing tech, what the technology was. Let's zero in on the technology that's the most effective. And we did a bunch of research. GC was one. Of course, mass spec cannabis testing labs around the country.
Let me stop you real quick. What is GC and HPLC? Because a lot of our listeners aren't going to know.
Absolutely. So GC stands for gas chromatography,
okay,
which is where the sample is heated up and the gases are expanded and measured.
And you see what's in there.
Yes, exactly. And liquid chromatography is where you extract the cannabinoids from a product, whether it's flower or concentrate oil isolate, and you extract the cannabinoids out into a liquid form, and that you inject into this thing called the HPLC, which is a high-performance liquid chromatography device.
Okay, all right.
So if you're going to do something like we're talking about, we need to create scale, right? Scale is success.
Of course, yeah.
If you can, well, HPLCs are expensive, and they're also challenging to run. The software that runs this, you know, it takes a master of science or chemistry minimum.
Of course.
To understand this minimum.
Is this literally the machine where they like put stuff in it and it goes in the beaker and spins around and stuff? Is that like what we're talking about?
That is part of the sample prep process.
Okay.
So in order to extract the cannabinoids out of a product, that is one of the things where you would vortex and you could spin it.
Gotcha.
That's one of the things.
I just went straight to sci-fi movies, you know?
So. No, great. No, I love it. This is really exciting stuff. It's great. I had a little bit of a science background. I did some work in security and defense, and we submitted some stuff to the military a couple times for sensors. And so it was really neat to get back into this.
Cool.
And it was just, I love it. So you're going to love it even more when I go into detail. You're
going to
love it. So we identified HPLC. Now we were like, okay, let's look at and research every single type of HPLC out there to identify which is the one we're going to reach out to. And that came after us investing a lot of money into building our own because we're trying to control costs. Again, here's the scale part. In order to be successful with what we're trying to do with a solution, first of all, it has to be accurate, right? So we identified HPLC. That's an industry standard. That's gold
most
standard.
Accurate.
We have that. But then you have to make it cost effective, right?
Right.
And then on top of that, it has to be simple. More people have to use it than a PhD or a master's in chemistry.
Of course. So anybody who wants to can test it and see.
Yes, exactly. And so, okay, you look at those three things on scale, and we hit it. We got the one out of the way. That is, okay, the accuracy side. The secondary side was the pricing. So we purchased and leased or rented every manufacturer's HPLC out there, and we zeroed in on one. We happen to use the Agilent 1220, which is a real workhorse. It's a It's a great model. It's very cost effective.
I'm a 1210 man myself, but you know, if you guys want to use 1220, that's fine. I mean, what'd you say? I said, I'm a 1210 man myself, but if you want to use 1220, I mean, oh, I have no idea what we're talking about. So,
but it's actually an overkill. The way we ramp these things up, it's an overkill for what's required. So we're doing, you know, we're providing some really robust data out of this. So now we identified a really good cost fix. We got a great deal working with them. And now we had to go, okay, how are we going to make this simple to use?
Right. How are you going to turn it into something that anybody can pick up and go, oh, look, that's the number I'm looking for.
Yes, exactly. And that is where we embarked in really transitioning the company more into a software and data analytics solution provider. So once you nail the hardware side down.
Right.
And again, we deviated away from building our own because, well, you know, there's about 300 parts in these things.
Sure.
And if one OEM partner goes out, well, you know, we don't want to be manufacturing.
Nobody, you become an engineering manufacturer at that point too. So
it's a nightmare. And God bless anybody in manufacturing. It's incredible. But we really wanted to focus on becoming solutions providers. So we are, you know, our whole focus is being solutions providers to the hemp industry. We are 100% into hemp. That's what we test.
Cool.
They're all cannabinoids are cannabinoids, whether it's, you know, hemp or the legal, you know, the marijuana.
Absolutely.
But we're focused on the hemp space because we feel we can make so much more of an impact on the farmers. And they actually, they need it, and they get the technology side as well. And so we have the hardware, and then we have the software. And then, okay, wait a second. If we're going to address the other challenge I had at the initial side, which was consistency, right?
Right.
Standardization. So what we did was we embarked in a whole journey enlisting the help with some of the top cannabis scientists in the world, some friends of ours, and we came up with some really great methods. So extraction methods that are done. And we did all this through ISO accredited lab research partners.
Okay.
And we created a great method of extraction, and every single part of the method of extraction is a point where somebody can actually deviate and do something wrong.
Of course.
So we limited to the number of steps that still would effectively extract the sample. So less steps, less room for error. Right?
Do you think that's why you saw such a huge deviation 8 years ago in the testing? Because it was just a bad way to do it. Too many steps. Was it something along those lines?
It's a combination. You got a lab tech, you know, they've got different methods, different styles. You know, you're talking very minute measurements.
Of course.
And so it's very easy to, I mean, one drop can throw a whole test
I'm
out,
sure.
off.
So, yeah.
So you're dealing with, you know, some people are better than others. So the less steps involved, the more accuracy, you know, chances you have.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And the other thing is the chemicals that you're using, because these use chemicals to extract the sample
right.
and also run the sample through the machine. So if you've got different manufacturers, they're all supposed to be at a certain level of quality. However, there's still some deviations. So what we do is we actually manufacture our chemicals in-house.
So you know what you've got every time.
Exactly. And it's consistent.
That's brilliant.
So for the first time in the industry, and the industry's been crying out for this, we are a de facto standard solution for potency testing. So we've got, everybody is using the same piece of hardware. Everybody is using the same software. Everybody is getting calibrated with the same calibrants to bring the machine to a zero point of, you know, excellence where you start from.
Right.
And then everybody's using the same consumables. So everybody, when you, I'll explain the whole model to you, but everybody gets the same consumables. Everybody gets the same everything to perform a test.
So we all also know we're on the same equal playing field, basically.
Exactly. So for the first time, you've got an ability to share data on a very trusting level. And it's been miraculous, you know, working with a lot of our clients that we have, but so we've got this standard solution, and we're a solutions provider. That's what we focus on. And so we get data, we focus on potency data. We've got a 14 cannabinoid profile, method that we have. And then we also have this thing called, we call it a hot or not test. And that's
That's great.
I think Paris Hilton, I think we ought to pay her a couple dollars.
Nah, she's doing fine. Trust me.
I think she's got like hot or not. Somebody's got some kind of hot or not. You're probably going to get in trouble by mentioning this.
Nah, but, I wouldn't worry about it. Just don't make t-shirts. You'll be okay.
Yes. So that's a quick 10-minute test. And so we've got these options. So our commercial clients consist of large growers, cultivators. Not even large. I don't know why I said large. Some of them are medium sized.
Sure.
Extractors, a lot of extractors.
I'm sure.
Seed geneticists. They love this because as soon as they can take a tissue sample and enough biomass, they're running these things to see the ratio of cannabinoids.
Right.
Early. So then they can go, let's work with this mother. Let's work with this genetics.
Right. And you create a seed that you know is going to have this cannabinoid profile, this THC profile, this fiber profile, whatever.
Yeah. So it's very valuable on that standpoint from a research and a product development. And we also have drying houses. They offer it as a value add to their clients as they, the product dries, they can show, the different changes in the chemical profile.
Sure.
And then we also have tollers. So people that buy product, and then flip it. So, brokers and tollers. So we're hitting every part of the ecosystem. Oh, and wait, of course, law enforcement reached out to us to try to look at some stuff.
No,
too,
but, you're kidding me.
Right. And it's interesting. I don't think we're going to have to work with them. There's such a, just not a real interest to prosecute right now, which is great.
It also seems like just a couple weeks ago, the DEA came out and basically admitted, look, we don't have the testing capability to even do this. It was suggested that they should be testing. And they said we would be so overwhelmed that there's just no way. So it sounds like they are going to let more like firms like you and like independent laboratory testing take that on.
Yeah. And in fact, that was part of the USDA regulation was an independent lab could do this, but you had to register with the DEA.
Right.
And registering with the DEA, it's really not much. It's only about $250.
Oh.
But the problem is that the additional costs, I mean, you have to buy a certain safe.
Of course.
There's just a lot of extra steps and a lot of burden added to the lab that I think they gave us a year hiatus. Now, we're still going for ours anyway. I think we'll have ours just because we're trying to get as elevated from our central research location as possible, because the more credentials we have, the more tools we have in our toolkit to create a better solution for the market. That's what we're going to do.
And you may be way better off than what they even want by the time they make up their mind. So great.
We would hope so. I mean, we've done, I think just in the last year, we performed 8,800 potency tests.
8,800?
8,800 tests. Wow. So we know the nuances of this plant. We also know how to really make the HPLC that we have hum, and we pass that on to our clients. So the model we have with a commercial client is it's a subscription model. So they pay a flat rate for us to go in and give them all the standardized equipment that they need.
Sure.
And then every month, depending on the number of tests they want to perform, they pay a flat rate per test, depending on the number of tests. And it works out to be the national average for potency is $75. The average price that we charge is about $30 a test.
That is insanely cheap.
Well, it is. But of course, some people go, then there's the price of the unit and all that other stuff. But
sure.
When you think about it, time is money. If you're an extractor, and you're trying to dial your machine in,
right?
And you have to do a run, and you have to send something out, and it takes even 3 or 4 days, and you're down,
right?
You can't do that. What some of our extraction clients are doing, which is great, is they're going in and they're doing a run, they're getting a result, they're going, okay, let's change the pressure on this a little bit. They do another run, and what they're doing is they're dialing their machine in to
sure.
give them the greatest amount of yield, right?
Right.
And then they lock that in. And then with our unit, once they have it locked in, they're utilizing our unit, our solution, not our unit, it's a solution, to actually keep the extraction equipment operating in maximum capability. So we're, a yield maximizer, we're a revenue maximizer.
That's amazing. Tool. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's applied data. Now, on the farming side, you're going to love this. The other thing CanID does is we have the ability within our software to go out and take QR code GPS coordinates in a field.
Sure.
So imagine you're a farmer. Say you've got just an acre. Let's start with an acre. You can go in and do a Z grid, which is each four corner in the center.
Right.
Right. That's Z grid. That's a standard agricultural sampling.
A, B, C, D, E, whatever, basically, or your points.
Yes. So you go in, and what you can do is GPS coordinate each one of those areas and then have a QR code on the bag of your sample. You go in, and can you imagine over a period of maybe you test every 3 days, you could even every day if you want.
Right.
But you can start to see the different nuances of your field, the different impacts of fertigation. So fertigation means fertilization, irrigation, fertilizer and irrigation.
Okay.
Those costs. So you can start to see what impacts those variables have in different parts of your field. And if you're, say, trying to maximize for CBD or CBG or CBGA,
right,
which are very valuable cannabinoids in hemp.
While watching THC, by the way.
While watching your THC levels pop, you can track your field over the course of the whole growth cycle.
So you could say like, oh, section A is getting a little hot. And the CBD is right where we want it. We should go look at that right now. But B, for some reason, is a couple days behind it.
Yep. It's
That's
called precision
amazing.
Agriculture.
That is incredible.
Yeah,
is there any other like agriculture or testing on any other kind of ag plant like this out there? Or is this strictly pretty much like the hemp world?
It's, you know, it's interesting. It's basically you've got a plant that's whole value is based on a chemical profile.
Right.
I would say, you know, a similar would be sugar beets.
Really?
Possibly. I'm trying to think of something really low-hanging fruit. We're talking about vegetables. Anyway.
Yeah, I got you. The metaphor works. Don't worry.
But say sugar beet, they're paid on the amount of sugar content
right.
in the beets. So I guess that would be one. We could probably think of a couple others,
not very many where you have to worry about like these, like you said, the chemical aspect of the plant before it's harvested. Everything else, like that corn is ready to go. It's yellow, you know, or those oranges are definitely good, you know,
orange.
Right.
It's interesting. One of our agriculture commissioner, a guy named Dan Hunter, who's great here in Texas. He said, whenever he gives his talk on him, he goes, you know, there's no such thing as illegal tomatoes or
right.
illegal corn, but there is illegal hemp.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I always love that little anecdote there, and it's true. And you got to keep on top of it. And even if marijuana is legal in your state recreationally, it doesn't matter because the licensure,
yep.
what license you have still determines what you're able to have.
Yeah.
So testing is important. The other thing we just are introducing this season, this growth season, this next month is massive climate data. So we will offer even to clients that are not, even people that aren't clients, we're going to offer these to some farmers where as soon as your seed goes in ground, it's called Climacan. And you go and you click a button and it'll take a drop of pin right there in the center of your field. And it'll give you a 500 meter custom weather on your farm. And it'll give you it'll ping it every hour on the hour. For your whole growth cycle. For
so
the
you
whole,
can take that, you know, data and you can look and like maybe the next year and say, hey, we didn't have that same profile, but last year was much wetter. Maybe that has something to do with it. Or this year was hotter or whatever.
Exactly. And it's not only that, it's wind, it's barometric pressure, it's radiation, solar radiation temperature and soil on the ground. There's so many variables.
That's
in
incredible.
This. That, we're going to offer, you know, about 15 different points, but there's like literally 30 or 40 points. And did you know that wind can stress a plant and make its THC pop?
No, that's news to me.
Yeah, wind, heat stresses a plant.
Now I've heard heat. I've definitely heard temperature. I've heard farmers say that temperature can definitely make your THC spike, but wind, no, I had no clue.
It's an aggregate of all these different variables. Temperature, definitely sun, which is directly related to the heat.
Right.
THC is the plant's, a lot of people don't know this, but THC is the plant's natural sunscreen. So
really?
Yeah. So even on a hemp plant or any other plant, the highest levels of THC is going to be in the tip
sure.
of the leaves and the flower at the top part of the canopy.
Right, the cones or whatnot.
The cones, the top of the flower. Yeah. So all those tips will be the highest levels. So here's a big problem that's coming up with the industry that a lot of people aren't addressing. The sampling procedure for hemp will be absolutely of paramount importance to the ability for the farmer to save their crop.
Right.
And because if you're going to follow marijuana outdoor sampling procedures, which is, hey, take the top 3 inches of the plant, that's great because you want to see the highest levels of THC.
Sure. That's bad news for hemp.
It's bad news for hemp. So if you mandate that same procedure, you're going to have farmers losing, you know, what do we have? $2 billion in crop loss last year because of that. So why are they can't tee them up for failure. So we're actually starting to get involved with some of the sampling procedures because, well, let's face facts. That process leads right to taking it to a lab, a third party lab.
Of course.
Labs that we love working with. Our own, we're going to focus on testing potency. We're going to offer potency testing. Just that's our specialty. That's all we do all day long.
That's
for potency testing. So one of the things that we are very, very excited about is working with the states. Actually, having the opportunity to work with the states gives us a chance to deploy units because these units are very inexpensive comparatively. What we've got is a solution that we're really wanting to partner up with state land grant universities. So state agricultural, the universities in each state that are land grant universities that have the top agricultural programs. Because from everything I told you about, all the data it can capture, all this valuable aggregated data, the ability to fall back on it because it's standardized and so it's defendable data, lends itself to be very, very, very potent for research. So our goal is to really work with land-grant universities who will then partner with either the state Department of Agriculture and or the state testing lab.
Right.
Labs. A lot of these states saw this as a tremendous opportunity to, you know, generate revenue too.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
It's tough. You got to love it. However, they're not equipped for this. They're not equipped for the huge influx of testing that's required at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And some states are 15 days, some states are 30 days. But when you have thousands of farmers that are submitting literally sometimes 100 samples.
Right.
In some states are required. There's no way.
It's impossible.
It's absolutely impossible.
And in the meantime, your crops are dying. They're literally dying. It's sitting here melting.
Or they're popping up in potentially THC.
Right.
Or they're going to sit there and they're going to mold. So what we're here is to offer a solution that that's scalable, that's simplified. It still allows the state to generate revenue, and it gives us the chance to work with students at universities and training them. This shows we went through a very stringent it's a really neat annual test through Emerald Scientific, and Emerald Scientific is does a third party blind proficiency test, and this shows we passed with flying colors.
Nice. That's very cool.
Are you seeing that screen, by the way?
Yeah, yeah, I am. I can see the potency in hemp oil, potency in solution.
Yep. And then this gives a background on our data points. You know, we go down to about one part per million. So we're very accurate, very low level of detection. I think California is like 1,000 parts per million. I mean, we're like down to one part per million.
You're so beating them by quite a bit. That's solid.
Yeah, we're an overkill. We want to be overkill because the data is important.
You have to be.
We also have a special element in our program that auto calibrates. So if you think of an analytical device like a scale is a great analytical device. You have to tear a scale, meaning you have to zero it out. Mm-hmm. Well, if HPLCs are not zeroed out or calibrated, they're going to start giving results that are out of skew. They're not going to be accurate.
Sure.
And we understand that to be a very, very important integral part of this solution. So we put in our software a bunch of really interesting stuff to deal with that. And then the standardization side. So these are the parts of the standardization that we accomplished with CanID, and that's the hardware, software. I went over this with you, which is really,
that's the most important part though. That's the standardization. Yeah. If we don't have that, then it's different everywhere and no one can measure anything.
Yeah, and they're trying to come up with standards, but it's if you're still, if you don't have the same equipment, you're not using, you know, everything's the same, you're really fighting an uphill battle to call standardization. Now, we're not calling ourselves, you know, the industry standard. We're just kind of a de facto. We think that we've got, you know, with everything we put in place, it truly is a standard.
Well, so, I mean, with what you've talked about and with the standards that you're able to uphold, just saying, we're all going to use the same equipment. We're all going to make sure the equipment is all working this way, and we will get similar results on all that equipment. I don't know how you should not be the industry standard. I mean, people are doing this right now, and huge problem.
The thing is labs, there's no reason why labs wouldn't use our solution. We are absolutely, you know, certifiable within a lab COA environment. That's what we are. So what happens is, if a lab's, you know, in there to make money, right?
Right.
So we offer a faster throughput at a lower cost so they can generate more money. And think about this. If the lab's using CAN-ID and the client's using CAN-ID, you've got a very, very, you know, strong argument that, you know, you're both going to get the same results.
Yeah,
very
verifiable results in two different places. Definitely. I mean, that's science, you know?
It's science. Yeah. It's science. So it's very... You know, it's really exciting. And I was, you know, this slide here, I know the listening audience can't see this, but, you know, we've done, this came up, I mean, we've tested almost every really cool hemp strain that's out there. And we found some really interesting stuff. And if any one of your listeners wants to get in touch with me, let me know if we can share that. But if you're going to grow a crop, I mean, there's some really neat trends coming out there with CBGA and CBG.
All the latest stuff that's coming up here. So
yes, sir. Yeah. And then there's, of course, industrial hemp, which is a whole nother incredible side of this. You know, we're talking about the ingestible stuff. I mean, the industrial hemp space is, I mean, it's the applications for it are just beyond.
Oh, yeah. That's the next thing that takes off. Once we have figured out how to test this stuff, how to verify those testing results, and how to show everybody that, yes, you can grow it this way, then we're going to see the industrial side go insane. And it's people like you and CAN-ID who are doing it the right way. This is amazing. This is what I have been looking for. And I've asked so many different people, well, how do you test it? And most of them are, like you said, sending their stuff off to a third-party laboratory, hoping and praying from there, and not even knowing where those results are, how it's being done or where they're coming from. I mean, it's got to be terrifying.
And Matt, I have to tell you, I'm not dogging the third-party lab industry. They are absolutely outstanding. What we are offering is a solution for a very, very timely for those people who want that data immediately.
Right.
And it's that side. I mean, we work with labs. Some of the top labs are friends of ours. We love them to death. They're great. It's just we're and they love what we're doing too, because they're like, oh, this is great. This, number one, frees up some of our stuff to be able to do the COA side,
right,
so the quality control stuff can be handled in house. And then, some labs are looking at working with us, you know, putting our stuff in their labs. So
sure,
it really makes sense. This is a use case. There's a tremendous number of use cases, as I'm sure you can see. Oh, here's another one. The insurance industry, some of the biggest insurance companies in the world have reached out to us saying, if we're going to underwrite crops, you know, we got to make sure they're not hot.
Yeah.
And they're like, this would be an incredible solution.
Absolutely.
To be able to underwrite insurance. Oh, and banking. So the banking and insurance go hand in hand. And both of those groups have reached out to us because it's such a great tool. And they have access to, you know, the underwriter could get a result, a copy of the result, you know, sent to them as well.
That day, if they needed it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And I would argue that the nature of this plant and the way it has grown and the rules as they are right now, you have to test probably at least every other day just to be safe.
Well, towards the end of the cycle, absolutely. In fact, you know, that's, of course, more testing, more great data.
Right.
And then, you know, it's pretty much, it's like insurance for your crop. I mean, this is insurance. You know, and this is a slide that shows all the different variable markets, you know, harvest compliance, precision farming, extractors, research, banking, insurance. The validation of out-of-state products. We are in the process of putting together a program where people that are transporting products from one state all the way across the country can subscribe to a solution that gives them confidence that their driver's not going to get arrested and that their crop will get their biomass or whatever they're doing will get to its destination.
Yeah, if that driver could turn and go, here's the test results. This was taken 24 hours ago. That, yeah, and they do that goes a long way.
Yeah, they do do that now, but sometimes, you know, people can edit results. You know, so sure. Law enforcement just doesn't necessarily take that as verbatim. So this one unit, this one solution can service all parts of this industry. And it's really the whole idea is to, you know, work with the state and deploy these units out there and help out everybody in the industry.
This is really impressive, honestly. And I'm not trying to sell anything. This is just like what you're showing me and what I'm seeing. This is really impressive. And this is exactly what the growers, the extractors, this is what they need. And I think, I don't know how we do it. And if there's anything I can do to help, let me know. And I will scream as loud as I can.
You're so kind. You know, we really appreciate, we've got our lives committed to this. You know, at the end of the day, data is the most important thing that empowers
absolutely
the whole industry. And we are, people call us a technology. We're not a technology. We are an absolute solution. What we've done is put together unique parts of, you know, the hardware, the software, and all the consumable programs and the business model to create a solution that's applicable to almost every facet to the whole ecosystem of the hemp industry. And so, you know, we're really honored to be here.
As always, I will have Cree's contact information, not just for him, but for Ionization Labs and CanID in the show notes for this episode over at ministryofhemp.com. Huge thanks again to Cree Crawford for coming on the show. And if you have any questions about what you heard today or just any hemp-related questions, you can call me at 402-819-6417. And myself and ministryofhemp.com's editor-in-chief, Kit O'Connell, will answer them. If you don't feel like calling, you can also shoot your questions to matt@ministryofhemp.com. Or hit us up on any of our social media. We are everywhere, and you can find us typically at / or at Ministry of Hemp. Thank you to everybody that has already signed up over at Patreon for our Ministry of Hemp Patreon. You can go there, search Ministry of Hemp, you'll find us, and you can become a Ministry of Hemp insider. Any donation gets you a newsletter and access to all kinds of extra stuff like podcast extras, extra coverage from the Ministry of Hemp crew. And it's just a great way to say that you not only appreciate what we do, but you believe in the power of hemp to change the world as we know it also. Thank you so much. And if you haven't had a chance to check it out, head over to Patreon and please donate and become a Ministry of Hemp insider. And speaking of our site, head over there to see a guest post about CBD for Beginners, a guide to getting started with CBD. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and this guide is really fantastic in helping you not only pick a brand, but get started with your regimen. At ministryofhemp.com, we believe an accessible world is a better world for everybody, so you will find a complete written transcript for this episode in the show notes. That about does it for this episode, but before we get out of here, this is Matt Baum. I have been your host, reminding you, take care of yourself. Take care of others and make good decisions, will you? It's extra important right now. This is the Ministry of Hemp Podcast, signing off.